Brr. Hi, you're listening to 3CR Community Radio, and one of our most significant special broadcasting events is Beyond the Bars, a unique series of live prison radio broadcasts that give voice to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander inmates right throughout Victoria prisons during NAIDOC week. Across the next half an hour, we're featuring discussions from participants in Beyond the Bars broadcast from 2024.
One of the main things that the boys seem to be lacking is accommodation. At the end of the day, if you don't have somewhere to go, you're basically on the back foot, you go back to people you know, they're on drugs or they're drinking or whatever it may be, so you're basically behind the eight ball already. Because if you had your own place, well, you can choose who you go to see and talk to, and you could start to get your life back.
Also, some of these places that boys try to get parole to, they've got some strict requirements, so most of us don't get to go there because of our charges. So we're sort of limited with the options we've got, you know.
Majority of the boys I've seen now, if you get a parole sentence, you're basically running your parole out in jail because you give them an address, they don't like it. You give them another address, they don't like it. You know what I mean? So then you're basically, well, how many people have three or four people that they could say, oh, can I go and get parole to your house? And you're basically doing your whole parole in prison, not because you've done anything wrong, because you've got nowhere to go. It really is hard. And it's not even just blackfellas either, you know. It's the whole system. We might be a bit more affected because, you know, the drugs and the alcohol and that in our communities and the alcohol. And it could be as little as, you know, you might have shoplifted 20 years ago when you were a kid, and that'll stop somebody getting paroled to your house. And that happens over and over again, like with certain things. There's always going to be requirements, and if you don't meet them, too bad, too sad.
I'm due for parole in 8 months, but because I haven't done any courses here, I'm not eligible. I'm doing time. I don't get a chance to be supported in the community, you know. Like, I'm getting out hopefully for the next year, but I'm going to keep saying this, and when I get out, I'm going to say it even louder, you know what I mean? So I'm coming. Understand, I'm definitely coming, and I'm going to start standing up and fighting for us brothers in here because people aren't fighting hard enough for us out there, you know. Like, us brothers in here, like, they're scared of us out there because we're willing to stand up and say what's right, say, get off the shit, get your life together, and let's get out there and we'll start sorting shit out and get things better for our people, because we're the ones that are going to do it, eh? And they're scared of us.
When you really look at it, we feel like they don't want us to change, because at the end of the day, it's people like me and Pete that keep coming back, that we've given all these people jobs. It's like we're like human cattle. Without us, they don't have jobs. So at the end of the day, they can say they want us to stop, but if they really wanted us to stop, they would put more help into helping us stop. Not just let you out, give you a night in a motel and say, there you go, mate, on your way.
For years, I've heard the same sort of things get said, and you know what I mean? Look, I've done nearly 25 years jail. Every NAIDOC, we hear the same stories, you know? Yeah. All this is happening and that's happening. And, you know, a couple months down the track, we don't even hear from no one out there, and it's sad, you know, because that impacts on our sense of self. It impacts on our cultural, you know what I mean? It's shattering, because you feel like you're getting left behind and you're forgotten about it. And it's like, well, we're here for NAIDOC to make everyone else look good. After that, we're just dirty, rotten crooks again, forgotten about, you know? And that's how it feels for a lot of us.
And, you know, you speak to any of the boys and they will feel the same, you know? To us older fellas that have basically been through the system year after year after year and seen it over and over and over again. Same thing, different people, always the end result, nothing.
So I learnt to weld here a few years back, and now they run this augmented reality welding, yeah, where they critique your welding technique and help you improve. They actually help you get jobs when you get out, you know? Like, a lot of people think it's too good to be true. Well, if you think about it, it costs millions of dollars to run this place every year. A small percentage of that is nothing. The problem is you've got to get people to stop thinking, oh, this is too good to be true, and actually use what is on offer, and then trying to get a little bit more funding for what is actually needed, which is the housing. Get blokes a bit more of an education, get them, you know, skills that they need. Do the courses while they're in here. Learn to weld, learn to upgrade your skills.
Yuzu, given $150,000 for a brother to be locked up a year, if you gave a brother a $150,000 house, how many of these guys would be back in jail? But the government's happy to give money to private institutions that run jails and keep people behind bars, but won't spend 150 grand on one individual on the outside if you look at it like that, you think, what are we doing? You're housing people in jails and paying big money to do it, but you can't house a brother on the outside. You can't even house anyone on the outside these days. And people are voting these imbeciles in on what is our land. $150,000 a year. There's $1 million in this room right now. $1 million sitting right here. Do you know what I mean? Like, help someone out.
Well, in terms of NAIDOC and, like, keep the fire burning, look, I think of it more of a literal aspect because I come from a firefighting background. I was a firefighter in New South Wales, fire and rescue for 12 years. For me, you know, keep the fire burning, I think of our cultural burning practices and those sorts of initiatives that for tens of thousands of years we looked after the land with our cultural fire burning and fire stick farming and things like that. It was shunned upon by the white way of hazard reductions and dealing with bushfire preventions, and I think in the last few years they're integrating it more and more into what they're doing, and they've come to realise that we've got practices that we've had in place for that long that worked. It's worth talking to our old people and people that have that kind of knowledge. I've always had it in mind that I would like to, you know, as I get towards the end of my jail journey and when I get out, I'd like to look at learning more and then teaching those cultural burning practices. So when I first came in, I wanted to do some study. I ended up getting my degree in fire investigations whilst in custody. My goal is to ultimately try and be able to deliver like a certificate in firefighting operations for prisoners. Jobs like that, you know, they're very rewarding and they're very sought after, and I think there would be some way that we could integrate, you know, cultural burning practices in with a qualification and deliver it, especially for Indigenous men. I think that would be really good. Yeah, so it's just about, you know, not burning it or bulldozing it out and, you know, losing all that land for the plants and animals. It's about doing cool burns and at the right time, the right seasons. And there was obviously a big Royal Commission after the 2019-2020 bushfires, and there was obviously recommendations and plans put in place about how much land should be cleared to prevent that from happening again. And then COVID hit, you know. Obviously a lot of things went out the window and hit, and they only hit sort of a quarter of those goals. So we're kind of lucky it's been fairly wet sort of summers and winters, and so we haven't seen it again. But without having hit those hazard reduction goals and all the bush building up again, it's a worry. And I think those kinds of initiatives that I'm talking about, it offers huge, you know, opportunities for Indigenous men to get out there and do those sorts of things.
I had all the support. It was just bad decision making, I guess. Working with Wadamba, that was a good support. They found me employment. Dadi, I went to a few of them men's groups. Staying positive, I guess. Painting routine, I guess. Yeah, just hanging around with brothers, support. Probably just more of them, men's group and stuff like that. If you're willing to, I guess, like, change, you just got to stick with it and just go with it, yeah.
There's a big program with Damba. I had them as mentors on the outside, and the amount of work and the effort they put in. So it's a prison to work program. A lot of mentoring on what kind of line of work you want to get into, then they'll help you get into the programs for the work or go and do courses for the work. I got offered an adult apprenticeship when I got out as a Sparky. A lot of plumbing, a lot of on the big build projects, the rail, the tunnel. So you just got to be honest with them what kind of line of work you want to go down, because that's the main thing, is have that self-worth.
Yeah, exactly.
And that honest living, and walk down the street and you can just smile everywhere.
Mental health. Black mental health out there. There's not a hell of a lot out there. It'd be good for a bit more of that and get a few of the brothers and sisters off the street, help them out, somewhere nice and warm to sleep. Yeah, since coming inside and seeing what supports and services around there, sort of thinking about, like, change career. I've done a lot of construction industry in my life, bricklayer by trade. Thinking about changing career to social services for the blackfellas out there, and you know what I mean? So there's more support for us, because I ain't enough. It's definitely changed me being in here, and that way of change, I think, would be better using it to help others now. Like, I've made my time and money and that, so yeah, may as well put my mind to use now. And yeah, social services, something along the lines of there that I can help with, so yeah.
Matty, I'm from Mildura. Me personally, I've been in here 3.5 years now, and I've seen a few people come and go, and then I've seen a few of the same faces again, you know, 2 or 3 times. I'm nearly 40. I don't have a trade. I've been a labourer all my life. I've worked in the shearing industry. I've done some pretty shitty jobs to put food on the table. Whatever is needed to be done, I've done. Talking about setting up the fail, like we're in here, you get some boys that are doing years, got nothing when they get out. Why can't Corrections Victoria, with all these so-called programs that they're running, why can't they set you up with a pre-apprenticeship? So that if you're in here, you're doing minimum 2 years or more, by the end of it, you walk out with a trade. So that you actually have something to fall back on when you get out of here, not just a, as we're saying, a $500 check and 3 nights in a hotel and expect to survive. If you had more than an accreditation from a TAFE course and actually had a trade, you get through a lot more doors in this life than what we're set up to now. I plan on going back to work, doing whatever I have to. Like I'm, as I said, I'm nearly 40 now. I'm planning to be home before me 40th. But because I don't have that trade, now I've got to go back and do seasonal work, which is very hard on me back. I've got a crook back as it is. So I'm going to either have to go back to tractor driving, picking fruit, back to in the shearing industry. To me, I like that job and I like that work, but the body's getting to that stage that it can't necessarily do it all the time. So in this day and age, they're trying to make everything more computerised. Without being computer literate, you can't really get anywhere, like, from what I've experienced. I hope towards the future they make things a bit more manually operated than automatic. But trying to work out exactly what avenue I want to take, I've never worked out what I wanted to be. I work in screen printing here at Loddon. I'm printing all the NAIDOC shirts, so all you boys out there that will receive a NAIDOC shirt, yours truly printed it for you. So, yeah, like there's some good artwork coming through that the boys have presented for the different jails.
Same as everyone, we're all struggling to find houses and stuff. I've got work outside, I'm a concreter, there's work everywhere. Hopefully get out there, do the righty and not come back.
I've done 8 months, I go home on the 14th, next Sunday, I linked up with, Damba, Wes helped me out, you know, so he just helps you out with jobs and that when he gets you out, you know, like he's got me a phone, all these vouchers to get work clothes and all that, so hopefully, it's pretty good. Nervous and excited, really, though. Yep. Just going to try and stay away from all the bad shit.
They call me Jono. I've been in for 23 years now. I've got about a year and a half to go. I do pottery and I'm getting pretty good at it. What I'm going to do when I get out. At night time, I'm going to do pottery, and through the day, I'm going to build furniture because I'm pretty good with my hands building stuff. So, I make all jewelry boxes and all that for the fellows and that. I teach the boys pottery in here. I've been doing it for about 6 years now. I love it, you know, it gives me something to do. And just to finish off the projects, it's just mad, you know what I mean? I wish they had a program here where we can go out, like six of us, go out to a farm where it's run down and they need help. Instead of wasting our time in here, just put a thing on their leg and we can go there and stay there for, say, for 2 weeks and do fencing and help the farmers and then come back, you know what I mean, and give someone else a go. We can give something to the community, you know what I mean? It's just wrong. There's a lot of talent in jail and it's just getting wasted, you know, and they won't give us a chance. Just give us a chance to go out and help people. I come from 18 in my family. Like one mum, one dad, 18 kids. Like mum's got 105 grandchildren and bless her, she's passed away now, and dad. First off, I started my sentence in South Australia. Went over there for a holiday and copped the life sentence. And my family used to come over there and see me, you know, and stay in a motel and that. So they're pretty good. They've been pretty good with me. Like, I've got six kids of my own. They do it very hard. Two of my boys are always in jail, you know, because they want to come in and see dad. I tell them, but, you know, it's not the way to do it. And it's very hard, sad for them. If I was out there, like when I do get out, I'm going to grab them, get them into the pottery, and once they see the money coming in, I hope they change, you know.
You're listening to 3CR's May Day special broadcast, and we're bringing you the voice of Aboriginal inmates in Victoria prisons. Selected from the 2024 NAIDOC Week broadcasts, you can listen to all the audio online at 3cr.org.au/beyondthebars 2024. And you'll find a link to order a free copy of the CD there too. Let's hear some more of those conversations. Brr.
My brother's like struggled, you know, like they just pissed in his pocket every opportunity they could. I've said to him, like, I've done multiple sentences, big ones too. This is a big one, doing 14 years now. And I say to him how hard it's going to be when he gets out, you know, like it's a massive shock. Just the price of everything, price of living, cost of living, you know. He's done small sentences, it's probably his biggest one, so you don't realise the change. But when you do 3-4 years, you get out, like cars are different, phones are different, bloody everything you knew is like gone, all the friends you had, lost their houses, you know, lost their kids, and he's almost set up to fail to go back to selling drugs just to make money to get by because there's no support, you know. And now my partner's seen all that and she's like, what the hell is going on, you know? Like all this portray of rehabilitation, this, that. They just spent $1.19 billion building a jail that's full of black mould. They're going to have to demolish it. Go Google black mould Victorian prisons and you'll read the money they're wasting, you know. They could have spent that on us, rehabilitation, and they do nothing, you know. They talk the talk, but they don't know how to walk it, you know, and it's really crap. Like, it's sad, because a lot of boys, they're set to fail, you know. Yeah, it's really crap. It's not enough.
G'day, my name's Damon. Ballarat born and bred. But, yeah, I reckon I'll probably move when I get out, try something different. I know, Queensland, maybe even Perth, go work in the mines or something, you know. Get out and maybe try one of those avenues and possibly get a job there or just something different, you know. It's another repetitive cycle for all of us, same as you, same as me, same as any of us. I think it's that hard as well, you know, going from what you know and what you used to even going to that, or like, are you willing to change? And but a lot of the time, if we are given that opportunity, I'm sure a lot of us would succeed and would go far in life. But yeah, it's just hard opening that door and getting those avenues to open up. But I want to try break the cycle, you know.
I've been in for 8 years so far and I've still got a lot of time left, and I hope it doesn't end up like that Shawshank Redemption where the old fella does so long in jail and just can't adapt to doing so long. A lot of things are going to change by the time I get out. Yeah. Well, things have changed every 6 months. I'll probably get picked up from the front of here in one of those Air Uber drones and stuff.
My son Ryder, I ring him up 3 times a week. Wish it was more, but it's all I can afford at the moment.
Do you know what they charge us to call our mob, like call home, a mobile call?
$8.95.
Yeah, for 12 minutes. If you call an STD, you're paying a couple of bucks, $3, $4. Like, and when you're only getting $36 maximum a week, how are you supposed to survive? They just make money off us in here, like canteen of products I get out there is going up. And people say, you know, they're in jail. We should be still entitled to necessities. We all need toiletries and stuff. The prison doesn't give you that. If you want to live hygienically in here, you can't have any luxuries. You can't have, like, eggs, and it's hard in jail.
We feel rejected. We won't feel strong enough to go the journey. We've got to feel that we're important, just like every one of us. We never give up. That's the thing about our culture. We don't give up on what we believe in to make things better. That's the strong thing about a tribal nature. We just have that in us. It's an honour that what we are. We've got to honour what we are more and not be worried about what's been and gone and what's gone bad to us. We've got to make it better from the past. Take the good with the bad. Like, prison's a good wake-up call for some people. It's not. They don't anything else. They've had bad lives, so they're clouded. But so jail can be also a good thing because it can make you a bit stronger when you get out. And you do learn who's right, who's wrong. You do learn the nature or quality of people a lot easier. Out in the community, you don't, because you're so drilled in your life, open life for free, free, free. You can be in jail 12 times, can't handle it. But the thing is, you want to be strong for others so you can help others in jail that are helping you. So you've got to be strong in yourself, no matter what your personal thing is. Yeah. You've got to be strong because you'll help onto another person in jail and them helping you to understand. People think jail is a real bad thing. Yes, it is, but not always. You know, people are sick. It's like an illness. Just because you go to jail doesn't mean you're a bad person.
Well, from Bourke, New South Wales, Barkindji and Kunjiboy. Lived on the Darling, Tinumpies, grew up right up through to Gadooga, above Lightning Ridge. Yeah, I've seen all that. The river dry up because of cotton farmers. My old man was a jackaroo and met my mother. She was picking cotton. He was sacked for being with my mother. He went out and lived on the riverbank with the blacks. He got kicked out of the house and lost his job because of it. They stayed together for a while. Yeah, so I watched them pump the river dry, cotton farms, and it's just ridiculous.
Here, we're trying to push for a medical day once a month for the Koori fellas, you know, you get health checkups.
You know, Jeff's been pushing for that a lot, you know, because that was here back in the day when he was here. There's that many fellas in the jail anyways, you know, and you're waiting a week or two to get into the medical. Not saying it's bad, but if there's something wrong urgently, at least if you've got the Koori fella there that you can actually go and see and speak up what's wrong with you, you know what I mean? And instead of getting pushed back to the back of the line, you know, you get everything done on the one day. You think something's wrong, you can come down into the Indigenous room and get your checkup done and all the rest, you know. Always make sure you're right.
What makes it hard in prison is most of us fellas don't know how to read and write, and usually you got to fill a form out. You got to push further just to get a checkup or two. Because last time when I was here, there was one of the brothers passed away because I didn't stay on top of his medication and the stuff that happened. It was hard just knowing brother passed away in jail. It would have been hard for his family back at home. Yeah, we're just trying to stay on top of that stuff where a month before release, get them forward to see a GP or something, you know, within the community, and because it is hard. I myself, too stubborn to get up and speak at times. You know, maybe that's something I need to look into.
My mum, her father was brought over as a slave. Me growing up, it was all taboo to speak about it. That's all in the past, you know, but move on with it. And as they say, a problem shared is...
A problem solved.
Well, half solved anyway. Yeah. Yeah, acknowledgement is half the problem. I don't know, I'm just part of the furniture here. It's might as well keep warm. Yeah, I've been down here, I've been part of the system for 30 years, pretty much a local here.
What do we need out there?
Support network, proper support network.
What I've learned from the prisons, this is where a lot of the brothers like embrace their culture, you know, like they don't know where they come from or where they're going, and the boys in here, the open arms, you know, like, no doubt, you know, we've got each other's backs, and it's a good place to actually have time to learn about where you come from and how you come about, you know, like, I know a lot of my family through here now, like, that I never knew, you know what I mean, like, growing up on the other side of the family, you know, and learning the culture and actually loving it, you know, like you said before, do you feel like you belong? Like, I swear, like, that just lit something up in me, because it's just, I always had this sense of, like, I never feel alone, you know? Like, and I've done a lot of solitary time, like, 3 years all up in 24-hour lockdown, you know? Like, that's straight behind locked door, you know? And you don't see no one. You talk to the boys through the door or through the window, you know? And it's hard, but like I said, I've never felt like I've ever been alone. Learning about my culture, I just... so rich in history and fighters, you know, like, and good people, and you just feel them by your side, you know, and that's the truth, and it gives me comfort, you know, like, I feel good. I always tell the young ones, like, and they always say, what can I get out of this? And I turn to them, I say, but what can you bring, you know, like, what can I give? Because if we're all given, we're all going to get, aren't we? Like, and that's what I feel. Yeah, I feel like it's our time now. A lot of the boys here, and I know that they have it in them. I know that I have it in me too. I grew up on the street too, bro, and with no sense of, like, no father figure, didn't have a trade, didn't have a skill, just got told, you know, you're not going to be much, or you're going to be a jailbird, no belief, couldn't read or write. But then a little bit of belief, you know, and seeing others before me do it, like, we're in my position, and you believe and you did it done, it's our time. You've come through these other people, like, lived silver spoon lives, and they are naive to the real sense of being in struggle, you know, like, and being suppressed. They don't know that. Like, to know that others are doing it and getting it done, whether it's small as having your own place and paying the bills and being a good man and a good leader to the young'uns, then that's mad. Like, all the respect in the world. You know, I want to be that place. You know, I want people to look to me and go, he can do it.
Yeah, I've got 2-year-old Oliver. Miss him. But he's good. He's healthy. He loves it. He's just started kinder. He loves it. He's with Baba. So yes. His grandparents, Baba and his dad as well.
Yes.
And Deda, his grandfather. I write a letter to my mum. I am writing a letter to my mum at the moment. But, I'm writing my first letter to my mum now, so I haven't really written too much, but every day I just write a little bit more and a little bit more.
Yeah. And how about, like, art or things like that, or, you know?
I've got a piece of easel
from the Aboriginal community hub with some paints, but I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
We had a program last week, Sisters Day. It was really, really good. I enjoyed it. Yeah. So I got my hair cut. We got massages and our nails done. I just come from work, actually. I was just at work before in industries. Then I left to come here. But, so this morning I was just sitting at work, had a coffee and in industries in the shed out the back there. We put nuts and bolts together, don't we, Mackenzie?
Basically nuts and bolts together into a – it's all in a pile. They're all separate. You put them together and you put them in a box and they get shipped off. You just sit there with nuts and bolts, putting them together and talking.
Yeah, you have a good chat with all the other girls at work as well, so it's good.
You hear about what's going on all over the compound and time flies.
Yeah, so that's what I've been doing this morning. Mackenzie had her first day at work today.
Oh, good on you.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I really did enjoy it. Wouldn't have done it if Sam didn't encourage me to.
Definitely the other girls keep me strong, keep me going. Yeah, that's for sure. I try to think about in the moment, not too much of what everything else. I can't wait to get out and just be with my family. Yeah, it's pretty hard, but I'm doing all right. I'm pretty good at the moment. Like I said, everyone else just keeps me going.
I'd like to just point out that, like, the Aboriginal women in custody here who are waiting to go out on parole currently, who are in their parole periods waiting to go out, and I think this is really important to understand, is that those women are still in prison. They've been granted parole pending housing, so they're okay to go back to the community, but unfortunately aren't able to go back to the community because there's no housing available for them. So the catch is there's housing places out there, right? So you can get department houses and stuff like that if you're lucky enough to have one. But you can't actually get parole to that housing because the address isn't settled until you're out in the community. So you can't actually sign for that housing until you're in the community, but you can't get to the community while you're on parole. So it's one of those things that it looks good on paper, but unfortunately for 2 out of 3 of us here, we're parole ready, but we don't have that housing option. You're not only, you know, sending me to prison for a crime that I did commit, you know, and that obviously, you know, I need to serve time for that. But my daughter's also been punished for that. She was homeless. That breaks my soul, you know. And then me having a home before coming here and then leaving, going out to no home, I just don't see the justice in that. Most of us have the ability to, you know, go out and live productive lives. We have the ability to do that. But there's no point in having or learning those skills if we can't go out to utilise them because we can't get parole outside. And then when our parole periods are up, they send us out regardless of whether we have housing because there's no longer. They hold us until our parole periods are close to the end or ending, and that way they're not responsible for housing us anymore. Us as women, when you take away a woman from a household, you're taking away a mother. You're taking away a woman who has children or is an auntie or is, you know, you're not just taking away that woman to incarcerate her in a maximum security prison that isn't designed to house women. You're taking away a woman. That often means taking away a home for everybody that lives there because they can't maintain that. They need to be more considerate around that, you know, creating a system that nourishes the women and protects them and family. Because at the moment, the things that are still happening, you're taking away the mothers, which then the kids still get taken anyway. So we're just doing it all over again.
Poem of strength. Yes. I am woman. I am an unstoppable warrior. I am beautiful. I am a resilient, tenacious, powerful genius. I am mentally indestructible genius who makes deadly choices. I am proud. I am powerful. I am real. And today, good things are going to happen. Love surrounds me and my ancestors are with me always. Always remember, tomorrow hasn't come. Yesterday is done. Just get yourself through today.
Brrr.
That's right. And that's on behalf of all the girls here, that we put that together ourselves. And that's on one of the groups when you come in, Art. And we appreciate you. Thank you.
We've been bringing you a selection of recordings from Beyond the Bars 2024. Thanks to all participants for your contributions. You can find all the details at 3cr.org.au/beyondthebars2024. We're getting ready to do this year's broadcast with Aboriginal inmates at Dame Phyllis Frost Centre, Barwon Prison, Fulham Correctional Centre, Middleton Prison, Marganique Correctional Centre and Port Phillip Prison. So make sure you listen during NAIDOC Week at 11 a.m. each day from 7th to the 11th of July. Stay tuned to the Sporting Records May Day Special.
Brr.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.